This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, San Diego? Happy Thursday to you. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Matt Scraby has finally decided to take a vacation, and we are happy to oblige, and we welcome in his replacement, Adam Klug. Give yourself a round of applause, Adam. Welcome to the show, man. I thought I'd test you out early and make sure you knew where all the buttons were, because sometimes, you know, Matt tends to hit wrong buttons. We want to make sure you're all lined up. Welcome to the show, Adam. Welcome to the show, Christopher. How are you today on this Thursday?
I'm good, Tony. Good to talk to you, of course. I'm going to throw out a little behind-the-scenes note here for you. If you could mute your Zoom mic, because I'm hearing you in echo right now. So there we go. Attaboy. Now we're good to go. I'm sorry. I don't want to start sounding like Rob Manfred handing out the trophy to Corey Seager here and delaying in my delivery because I'm hearing an echo out there. But yeah, good to have Adam Klug in the building today, especially since you and I have a 2-hour show today, which is basically a long version of the Atlanta Falcons pregame show. Thursday night football, of course, is the Adams Falcons against the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, I'm curious to see how big of a lead, how late in the game Atlanta can build before they blow the lead. Because no team in football history, I mean, they've only played 7 games this season, but
seven.
They're 1-6, and in 3 of those games, they had a better than 95% chance to win the game, and they lost. It's just absolutely incredible what's happened to that team so far this year, including last week's loss to Detroit. So, I think it's kind of ironic that we got Adam on an Atlanta Falcon day.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, our listeners, you guys normally are used to us dogging the Niners. Well, for the next 2 hours, it'll probably be the same for the Atlanta Falcons. And there's a lot more there, with a lot more meat on the bones there with the Falcons. You know, we give Scraby a hard time about the Niners, but they're actually a decent team. I don't know what you call the Atlanta Falcons at this point, Chris.
They seem like a decent team, but they just don't have figured out how to win a football game. I mean, you know, they got the one over Minnesota. Other than that, I mean, the blowing of the Dallas game, I think – you know, you can tell me about that as a player, Tony, but I think when you lose a game that you absolutely know you've won, I think sometimes you make the mistake of having a carryover. I think that's definitely happened to the Atlanta Falcons this year. That's a team, and I don't want to talk too much Atlanta Falcons. We're about 5,000 miles away from Atlanta here doing the show today. But, you know, I just think it speaks for sports. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of talent. They've had some injuries, but they've now gone through a coaching change. But ultimately, confidence is the thing that is so crucial in sports. And it doesn't matter if it's the NFL or whether it's, college tennis. I mean, you got to be confident in your ability and think you're going to be able to win. And I think this Atlanta Falcons team is a classic example of a team that just feels like it's going to find a way to lose. And that's why they've been doing that.
I think they're a classic example of how strong the mind is, right? Because that team will look good for 3 quarters, and then in the 4th quarter, it's almost like they start thinking to themselves, when is it going to happen? When do we start to give up this lead? And sure enough, that's exactly what happens to them, at least the last few games. So obviously Thursday Night Football follows our show. after at 5 o'clock. You got the Falcons, you got the Panthers. Also, a lot of baseball news trickling in today. Tony La Russa is named the manager of the White Sox. We got.
Excuse me. Am I in a time warp? Is this 1997 or is this 2020? Who's the manager of the White Sox?
Yeah, I said it. Tony La Russa. Jeez. Back in action. Yes, yes. It sounds like Jerry Reinsdorf really wanted a chance to make a right wrong that he had originally made wrong when he fired him back in the 80s. He's going to give him a shot again here in 2020. So we'll talk a little bit about that. It almost feels like today is officially the beginning of off-season baseball. Bunch of lists coming out. You got the Padres high up in the power rankings. Yesterday we talked about them, their odds of making a World Series. I think they had the third best odds. Well, they have a pretty good standing here on this power rankings released by ESPN. We'll get into that a little bit. And we found the one person on the planet that actually believes Kevin Cash made the right move. I'm very interested to talk to Joe Sheehan today. I don't know if it's compelling in my eyes, but he's put down a pretty good argument on why Kevin Cash was right. We'll have him on in the 3 o'clock hour to discuss. But Chris, one of the things that's popped up, as I said, you mentioned it. Is it 1997? Well, I think it was 1986 when he was last a White Sox.
This guy, Tony La Russa, I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm going back through his career here. He was originally hired in 1979, about mid-season, managed 54 games that year before taking over as full-time skipper of the White Sox in 1980. He was 34 years old the day he was first hired as a manager. Now you can double his age and then some. He's 76 years old now. He managed in the big leagues, Tony, for 33 years, and then had 10 years off before he comes back. And, I've never been a big La Russa fan, and the reason I haven't is not because of his ability to manage. I think he is an excellent manager, and he knows what he's doing. You're not going to sneak anything past this guy. He's as smart as they come. But I always felt that La Russa was one of the first managers that started over-managing. And, I mean, you can go back to those great Oakland Athletic teams that he had in the late 1980s, and he was one of the first guys to start matching lefty on lefty in the seventh inning, righty on righty in the eighth inning.
We have Tony to thank for all this, huh?
What's that?
I said we have Tony to thank for all this.
I think we do. I really do. I think he was really one of the first guys to do all this and turn Dennis Eckersley into a one-inning closer and a Hall of Fame relief pitcher. Prior to that, relief pitchers used to come in, closers in the seventh inning, eighth inning, finish out the game. And Tony La Russa started that matchup thing when the seventh, eighth inning would come around. He'd go lefty on lefty, righty on righty, go back to the mound, and then save everything and set it all up for Eckersley. And that was now seems like it is years ago. I mean, my goodness, it's 30 years ago that was happening. But when it first happened, it was eye-opening to a lot of people. And because the Oakland Athletics had such a good team, they won all the time. And so he was given, I think, too much credit. That was always my thing with Tony La Russa. Everybody gave him all the credit when it was really the fact that they had, McGuire and Canseco and all the Bash brothers and all those guys and Dave Stewart pitching and guys like that getting the job done, Eckersley, a Hall of Fame closer. But those were just talented Oakland A's teams. And for all of the success that La Russa got and for all of the credit he got, he took two 100-win teams to the World Series, one in 1988 and one in 1990. Well, we know what happened to the team in 1988. They lost to the Dodgers, and that was one of the great World Series upsets, really, of all time, if you go back to that time. And then in 1990, he had another 100-win team, and he got swept by the Cincinnati Reds in the World Series. So I always thought La Russa was just a little overrated, not because he's not good, but because people talked about him as one of the greatest managers in the history of the game. And I'm not ready to put him on that pedestal, even though he is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I have to push back on that only because I think he kind of silenced all those with the series he won with the Cardinals, because they weren't by far the most talented teams during those seasons, yet they played – they're the reason. He's part of the reason why people look at the Cardinals, and we all had that memory in our head prior to the Padres defeating them. Part of the reason why we felt like that about the Cardinals is because of Tony La Russa. He had two of those teams that, especially the one that took out the Padres, I think it was in 06, they had to scrap to get into the playoffs. And when they did, they just took off and played some good baseball. So I always felt like I was on the same page with you prior to his stint in St. Louis. I just felt like he did a really good job. And going up against him, seeing how he managed, how he manipulated the game in some aspects, as much as I hate to say it and I hated playing against him, I got to give him credit there. He did a really good job kind of setting the, I don't want to say tradition because the Cardinals have always had a pretty rich tradition, but he kind of brought it back, I feel like, Tony La Russa did. And I think the job he did there was much more impressive than the job he did in Oakland. Because as you said with Oakland, I mean, man, if you were picking a team for on a video game of what you wanted to, what team you wanted to play with, Oakland was right up. I mean, they had everybody, as you mentioned, Ricky Henderson, Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire. They had Dave Stewart on the mound. I mean, they had so many good players that you're right. It was kind of a disappointment that they only won the one World Series in those 3 years. But I thought the job he did in St. Louis was pretty phenomenal. Let's slide over to the team that, you know, he's now the manager of the White Sox, the team that has a very similar path as the White Sox is our San Diego Padres. They are connected in a way in which I'm sure the White Sox would like to forget, giving up Fernando Tatis Jr., but they are connected. And, you know, the reason why the Padres are relevant right now is because we mentioned to you guys they are third as far as if you're a gambler, you want some good odds. Padres have the third best odds. But they also are ranked relatively high in this really, I think it's called a way too early power rankings.
Yeah.
They rank third there. And it's been a long time since you've seen a Padre team. Forget the top three. It's been a long time since you've seen the Padre team in like the top 15 of one of these power rankings. And here we are, the Padres sitting at three in this power rankings for ESPN.
Well, I said it all year long, Tony. I mean, this honestly doesn't surprise me in any way, shape, or form. I said it during the course of the season. I felt the best two teams in baseball this year were the Dodgers and the Padres. And that, of course, means the Padres were healthy with their best two starting pitchers pitching, which they didn't have in the divisional series. But I think the Braves are right there. I think the Rays are in the conversation. I think that White Sox team is coming very quickly, too.
Yeah,
and La Russa steps into a really good situation there in terms of having some great young talent that I think he'll do a good job with. But, yeah, I'm not surprised. The problem with the Padres ranking, Tony, is that they're number two or number three, whichever one you look at. The problem is a team in their own division is number one. And that's the problem, is that the Dodgers are number one, and they're going to stay number one, you know, for the foreseeable future. So the Padres could wind up, you know, having a sensational season, could be the second-best team in baseball all year, and it could run into the same situation, you know, next October, you know, God willing, that we have a full regular season and everything works out. But that's the thing with the Padres. I'm excited to where they rank, but I would rather them be ranked number eight overall and playing in the AL Central, you know, than being number two overall and playing in the NL West, where it's a lot more difficult. That's the problem.
It's a good point. I guess the question, really, it shouldn't be how close are the Padres to closing the gap on the Dodgers, because I think we have that answer. It's close, but there's still some distance there. I think the question is, how much of a separation is it between Padres, Dodgers, and everyone else in the National League West? I mean, the Diamondbacks didn't look that great last year. Colorado didn't look that. The Giants surprisingly looked better than those two teams. So
But you look at their rankings. What are they? They're all in the low 20s. The Giants, the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies. So it really does at the moment the way too early rankings. But you got a huge gap with first and second towards third, fourth, and fifth for sure.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And as we said, these are just way too early rankings. Obviously, the one caveat that they have in the Padres write-up is it's assumed that Dinelson Lamet and Clevenger will both be 100% healthy come spring training. So hopefully that is the case, and we'll be able to talk to us. All right, let's get to break. Let's step away, pay some bills. When we come back, our own Chris Ello may be headed to the bubble. And man, oh man,
what?
This is very interesting. We got to talk about it when we get back. But he could be heading to a bubble here soon. This is Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Let's check traffic from Kelly Danik.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Adam Klug, our special guest producer of the program today. Matt Scraby getting a couple of days off. You mentioned he's on vacation. Any way we can make that permanent, Tony? I'm just kidding. I already miss Scraby. I already miss him too. I know. 3:21 is the time. We're going to have to call a little audible today. Omaha, as it were. Joe Sheehan, who is scheduled to join us at the bottom of this hour to discuss his opinion that Kevin Cash, the Tampa Bay Rays manager, made the proper move in taking out Blake Snell in World Series game number 6. Certainly an opinion that very few people share. Really looking forward to that interview with Joe Sheehan. But Joe got caught up doing some other things. Texted Adam, our producer, a little bit ago, said he wouldn't be able to come on the show today. But he will be on the program tomorrow. So Tony will have to wait just a little extra time to hear from Joe Sheehan. So a little audible on that. We'll talk some baseball free agency at the bottom of the hour. But coming into this segment, you mentioned that, yes, I potentially, and this is, it's really a long shot, honestly, but I could potentially be headed to a bubble. And here's, a lot of things would have to happen for this, and I'm not honestly suggesting that it's going to happen, but apparently the West Coast Conference with USD and now the Mountain West Conference with San Diego State, and we're going to hear from Craig Thompson in just a second here, are considering playing the Mountain West Conference basketball season in a bubble, most likely in Las Vegas. And from what I read today in Mark Ziegler's article in the San Diego Union-Tribune, and I'm sure it's kind of one of those stories that's changing by the hour, but what Mark wrote was that you know, the potential would be you'd go there for a couple of weeks, play a bunch of games against everybody in the conference, and everybody would play there in Las Vegas, and then you'd come back to your campus for a few weeks and, I guess, do some schoolwork, and then go back to Las Vegas and finish out the season and play the conference tournament. And I guess the reason you can make the connection that I could be headed that way is if men's basketball does it, certainly makes sense that women's basketball would do the same thing. And since I do the Aztec women's basketball games, but I must admit, Tony, if the Aztec women do go to the bubble in Las Vegas, I don't know that I would be invited or asked to be part of that. And if I were asked to be a part of it, I wouldn't be able to leave you for that long. So we would have to make sure that my equipment, the Comrex that we've been using here to broadcast from the home office was working. But I would say this, it would be very interesting to live life inside one of those bubbles for a couple of weeks. I have to say, I would be intrigued by it. I don't know if I'd be excited about it or not. You know, like, I mean, because we really don't know the kind of sacrifices that NBA players really had to make, baseball players in the postseason, Stanley Cup, NHL guys. I mean, what the sacrifices that these guys had to make are probably beyond things that we could even really imagine.
That's more than fair. I think you're probably on to something. I mean, a part of it, me wanting you to go, is it'd be, I mean, we already have a Radio.com insider on our show. Now we'd have somebody in the bubble also on our show. So we would kind of have like the best of both worlds at that point. But in all seriousness, it does – It makes some sense, right? I think, obviously, we don't know the logistics on whether you would be able to attend or not. But in terms of them getting in a season, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, at this point, the way things seem to be going, it's going to be tough to have fans in the stands at any point this year.
That's period. For sure.
And if you're not going to have fans there and it's because of the pandemic, it only makes sense to try to protect – all of the teams that you have as much as you can. And yeah. and we've seen evidence that it actually works, and you can get a season in without – and I shouldn't say a season, might be a little bit longer than what we've seen, but we've seen a team be in a bubble for up to like 3 months, and it work out pretty well. So there's some information there that says it would work, and it would probably be the safest way to do it.
You know, when you talk about the – let's talk about the Mountain West and the Aztecs and the men's basketball program, because that's what the people are most familiar with and, you know, most right. dealing with here on this particular one. I'm just throwing the women in and assuming that they would be part of this thing. I have no idea, no knowledge one way or the other, so I don't have any insight here. But the Mountain West Conference basketball travel schedule, Tony, is already the most difficult in all of college basketball.
Hands
and we've
down.
Discussed this many, many times. Duke and North Carolina and NC State and Clemson and Wake Forest, all of those schools are pretty close together, right? They're almost in a bubble to begin with in the ACC, separated by, you know, I think there's four schools in the ACC separated by less than an hour. In the Mountain West Conference, every road trip is really, you know, kind of difficult. You know, maybe Albuquerque's an easier one. Las Vegas is a bit of an easier one, but Fort Collins, Colorado is a plane flight and a bus trip. Laramie, Wyoming is, who knows how you get to Laramie, Wyoming sometimes. I mean, it can be any different way. Boise, Idaho is another one. Air Force is a difficult road trip. All of the road trips in the Mountain West Conference for San Diego State, and I assume for all the other schools, Reno and et cetera, are difficult. So the Mountain West Conference, to me, it would make a lot of sense if they put everybody into a bubble, assuming that these kids could still get some schooling done and some homework done, but yeah. put them all together in one town and try to play a conference season. It's not a bad idea.
No.
I hadn't really thought of it.
It's not a bad idea. And it would actually it would probably be a boon for the Mountain West because, as you mentioned, their schedule travel schedule is the toughest in the nation every year.
Yeah.
And so – I'm sure the coaching staffs, as much as they would like to be moving and grooving, in this particular year of 2020, I don't think they would have a hard an issue with it at all. Of all being in one place and scouting would be easier for.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that make it work.
And you have two excuse me, Tony. But you have two arenas right there on the campus of UNLV
That's
that
right.
are right next door to each other. You have the Thomas and Mack Center, and you also have the. It used to be the Cox Arena. It might be called something different now. But it's adjacent to the Thomas and Mack Center. It's a full-size basketball arena. Just doesn't have the seating that the Thomas and Mack Center does. But you got two courts you can be playing games on throughout the day. That's almost as many as they had in Orlando. So let me play this real quick if we have a second. Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson talking on the Las Vegas Sports Network about the Mountain West Conference considering a bubble for the upcoming season.
We've spent some time, we talked about it yesterday, reading about the West Coast Conference and the bubble concept. You know, we've got that in our back pocket, if or as necessary, where maybe some point in the season we say, hey, look, we're just not getting games in. So let's bring six teams to a particular city, get two or three games in. You know, basically every institution is online learning anyway. So, you know, from an academic perspective, it could be pulled off. But, you know, again, it's one of those easier said than done situations. But that is something that is still on the docket.
You know who was way too happy about this idea earlier this morning when we read it in the newspaper?
Who?
My wife. She's like, really? You could be gone for 2.5 weeks? All of a sudden, she was ecstatic. I don't know what she was so happy about, Tony. But
yeah.
No, we'll see if it all transpires. But it's something to consider as we continue to go forward and this pandemic continues to be the number one thing in the world.
Yeah, no, I think there's no doubt about it. And listen, again, with the cases seemingly rising right now, it makes a lot of sense. To put all the, at least for the Mountain West, to put their schools in this bubble, and if you're going to have a season, go at it that way. Because as we're seeing, when we've tried to force our way through a season, like I don't know the Big Ten, all of a sudden you're canceling games, and that doesn't bode well for anybody.
No, no. College football is game after game after game is getting canceled. We don't have enough time to break all that down at the moment. We got a break here, but we'll talk a little bit more about it on the flip side. Also coming up, Padres, Jake Cronenworth, Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, Trent Grisham, Will Myers, Austin Nola, Denelson Lamet, Trevor Rosenthal, Drew Pomeranz all have something in common. They are all nominated for the All-Major League Baseball team for 2020. That's a lot of nominations. We'll talk about that. We'll also take a look at free agency in Major League Baseball, where that could be headed. Some big names. A couple of guys were released today that will definitely raise your eyebrows when we tell you who they were. We'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Chris Ello along with Tony Gwynn Jr. Short show today heading toward Falcon football. We are the home of the Falcons, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Carolina Panthers. It's the NFL Thursday night game of the week. It's coming up at 5. Until then, it's Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
3:38 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby's gone, so Adam Kluke has stepped in to be his body double, although a little bit smaller of a body double than Matt, yet he is still here nonetheless, and we welcome
him. I think it would take two Adam Klukes to equal a Matt Scraby.
It very well might.
I mean, although, that only in the kindest possible way. I don't know.
Absolutely. Matt is a lovable individual, for sure. Just a reminder, I know we lost Joe Sheehan today. We will have him tomorrow, but all guests on Gwynn and Chris join us on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU online and mobile banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Before we get into some more Padre news, Padre fun, if you will, let's check traffic from Kelly Danick.
Traffic is sponsored by Burlington Stores. Got a crash on the northbound side of the 15 before Mira Mesa Boulevard. It's over to the right shoulder. Up ahead, past Camino del Norte, solo vehicle accident blocking the right lane of the HOV lanes. Northbound 5 at the 76 connector. An accident. Looks like a vehicle may have taken out a sign in the process. South 805 before La Jolla Village Drive. Accident. Two vehicles involved. Not showing if lanes are blocked. And further south, an accident cleared up just before the King Freeway. Solo vehicle accident reported on Woodman Street off-ramp eastbound 54. Have you been to Burlington? They have incredible deals and amazing styles at up to 60% of retailers' prices and no coupons needed. It's your one-stop shop for fall. Go to Burlington.com to find your store. Burlington, love the deals. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Padres.
Yes, hey, real quick before we get to the Padres, can I just ask you one question about Tony La Russa, and then we'll throw him aside for the day?
Yeah. Go for it.
He's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yes.
He's already in it, because I know I saw him there when we went to
He's definitely in it.
Yeah, I saw him in the chow line. He was eating so much food that there wasn't much left over.
But he was crushing
the chow line. Anyway, somebody brought up an interesting point. John Heyman, as a matter of fact, our baseball guy, who said he talked to Jack O'Connell, the Baseball Writers Association of America, and said that a lot of the baseball writers are kind of a little bit perplexed by this, in the sense that, you know, they voted him into the Hall of Fame, assuming that his body of work was done as a manager. And it just got me thinking, what if he destroys the Chicago White Sox and they win like 30 games and, you know, the whole team is, it's not going to happen because they're too talented, but you know what I'm saying, Tony? There's no way you can go back and vote him out of the Hall of Fame, but once you're in the Hall of Fame, what if your statistics go take you completely down the rabbit hole?
So both of our baseball guys are on this. Bob Nightingale,
Get
this out a little bit earlier today. So Tony La Russa is the first Hall of Famer to come back and manage or play, but three players who were inducted into the Hall of Fame later managed: Frank Robinson, Paul Molitor, and Ryan Sandberg. So it's not as though this is like the first. This is the first for a guy to come back who's been inducted as a manager and then come back and manage.
Right.
But it is not the first time that somebody has been inducted and now find their way back on the field somehow. So I think that vote is already, you can't take that vote back. He's already in. So no matter how much he destroys this White Sox team, he's already a Hall of Famer, and there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Well, the good news for Tony La Russa is in 33 years of managing in Major League Baseball, he's 400-plus games over 500. So
yeah.
I don't think he's going to go 0-400, you know? So
it's gonna
he'll be okay. Anyway, I don't know. That just crossed my mind, and I just wanted to throw it in. But let's definitely get into some Padres stuff.
Let's get into some Padres stuff because, you know, last year we had a nice discussion about this new award that – I don't want to call it award. Much like the All-NBA team.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball started their version of that last year.
And it was a long time in coming, because we've talked about this in the past, where you could make the All-Star team as a guy who's just a great player in the month of April and May every year. But you don't get any credit for what you do in the most important months, which is August and September.
Right. You see it all the time. Guys have terrific first half. They have terrific April, May, June.
Right.
And then completely disappear for the months of July, August, September. And those happen to be the most important months of the year. And this year is a little bit different flavor for the Padres, Chris. They've got a bunch of different guys who are eligible to be a part of this all MLB vote. I got my vote in. I tweeted it out. I had to delete it and go back because when I tweeted it out via the MLB app, the MLB app kind of made a mistake. They had Tatis Jr. in there twice, and that's impossible. He can only play shortstop one time, and you only get one vote. So I had to kind of redo that. But I'll just run through my list of guys that I picked for the all MLB team. At first base, I had Freddie Freeman. I think he's going to ultimately probably be the MVP of this 2020 season. I had DJ LeMahieu at second, who had another unbelievable year. And then it's all Padres on the left side of the infield, ladies and gentlemen.
Atta boy.
I got Fernando Tatis Jr. at short. I got Manny Machado at third, obviously. The catcher for this group is Travis d'Arnaud. I thought he had an unbelievable year. You look at his numbers, especially compared to some of the other catchers who had good years, he exceeds them all. So I went with him. You get a DH this year, and I don't think there was a better DH than Marcell Ozuna this year. In the outfield, I got Betts, Soto, and Trout.
Ooh.
In the starting pitching area, this one was probably the toughest vote, I think, out of all of them. I got Bauer, and that pained me. Bieber, Yu Darvish.
You know, Tony, it's just an opinion vote. You could leave Bauer out and nobody would notice.
No, Max Fried, but I want to give the man his credit because he
know.
Was that good this year.
He was
good. Max Fried. And Denelson Lamet got a vote for me in an all MLB this year. Relief pitchers, I went with Devin Williams, who barely, I think it was .33 was his ERA this year. It was kind of hard to leave him off.
Yeah,
and then
only
Nick
gave
Anderson,
up with
who
like one base runner the whole year.
Right. And then Nick Anderson, who unfortunately had a terrific regular season, but he has been at the end of this criticism for Kevin Cash going to him in game 6 of this World Series, in which he would give up the go-ahead runs. But I picked him as the other reliever in that group. But certainly it's exciting to get on there and vote and know that you're not being a homer by picking some of the Padres. Like, I thought Fernando, Manny, and especially Denelson. I thought they all deserve my vote this year, and it was nice to get on there and pick three of them at that.
Yeah, you could have even added Rosenthal on there. I mean, he had a great year at closing. You know, the thing is, it was just a weird year, and he did a lot of it with Kansas City, but closing baseball games, just not what it used to be. And we talked about this yesterday, how Julio Urias was the guy who closed out the World Series and the championship game for the Dodgers, and he's a starting pitcher. And I'll tell you, another guy that you really could have considered until the last darn weekend of the season was Drew Pomeranz.
Oh, Drew, yeah.
Because he hadn't given up a run, I don't think, until took him deep the final weekend of the season. I forgot it was at San Francisco or something, but he ended up giving up a 3-run homer, and his ERA went from like 0 to 1.something real fast. But he almost made it through the whole season without giving up an earned run. That's how well he pitched. And
I might change my vote tomorrow when I vote again.
What's that?
I said, because you can vote once every 24 hours, I may have to change my vote tomorrow.
Sneak that in?
Drew in there. Yeah.
Sneak him in, yeah.
I was on the fence about Nick Anderson as it was. I think you just convinced me to
push him off. Good.
Yeah, you knocked him off the fence. You're going to put Drew in there tomorrow.
Good. You know, Cronenworth, it's really an honor for him to get a mention here.
Yeah.
And certainly he's going to be in the Rookie of the Year running for the baseball writers. And obviously Will Myers had a fantastic season and has to be in the consideration for Comeback Player of the Year. So it was a great year for the Padres all the way around. And, you know, they had so much. This is why I'm kind of saying I don't want to make a whole lot of moves here. I mean, I know you want to bulk up the bullpen, and if somebody can find me a starting pitcher, great. You know, I mentioned going into the break that there's a couple of names that popped open today that were released by teams that was a little surprising, or at least eye-opening, I thought. One of them was Brad Hand.
Yeah,
the former Padre All-Star closer was put on waivers today by the Cleveland Indians. So he is complete. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, Tony. He's just completely available now? I mean, you don't owe the Indians anything? There's no...
He'll have to clear waivers first, meaning from worst to best, teams get a chance to pick him up, and they take over the salary that's owed, which is going to make it highly unlikely that anybody picks him up because they don't want to pay that money. And he will be a free agent. And this is why it's tough to make free agent lists early, because you don't know what teams are going to do with these type of guys. There are a boatload of guys this year who have options, and some of them have already made decisions. Colton Wong, second baseman for Cardinals, they've decided to let him move on. Adam Eaton, who was part of the car racing celebration for the Nationals over the past couple years, him and Howie Kendrick, both of those guys have been let go in terms of they'll be free agents. One of your favorites, Daniel Murphy from the Rockies. They would decline his option.
I like Daniel Murphy. I just wish for my wife's team he would have, you know, got a hit. That's all.
Yeah.
I really dislike him.
Just one hit, huh?
Yeah, just a couple of hits somewhere along the line wouldn't have hurt. I mean, that was a no-brainer for them to release him. But, yeah. No, and the other guy's name came up today was, what, Roberto Osuna? The old
closer.
Yeah, the guy who was on suspension for a while ended up getting picked up by the Astros. But
there's more to come, too, by the way. I mean,
yeah, there'll be way more.
Dellin Betanza, Chris Archer is another name. Edwin Encarnacion, Brett Gardner. We mentioned Brad Hand. Corey Kluber's another guy. This John Lester's another guy. If the Cubs decide not to pick up his $25 million option, and that one they have a choice here. Pick up the $25 million option or buy him out for $10 million. So it's going to be a steep price regardless of what the Cubs need to do. But these are the type of names.
$15 million cheaper to let him go.
Touche. And then we saw Charlie Morton pitch in the World Series. He also has a club option. So there are a lot of
these. You know which guy interests me there? Yeah. You know which guy interests me there? And obviously, I mean, you mentioned a Cy Young Award winner in Corey Kluber, so you raise your eye. But I just wonder if Corey Kluber is ever going to be healthy again. The guy that interests me there that's a young, still on the young side,
Archer.
And I think has some ability but just has not pitched well the last year or so and then was hurt all the last season, is Chris Archer.
Yeah, I saw that. That's the name that made me think too.
Is that right? I wonder if that's the kind of guy. I mean, you'd be rolling the dice on any free agent. That's just baseball. I mean, you get, everybody says, well, what if he gets hurt? Well, you can say that about anybody. But, man, Chris Archer, when he was right, was really a dominant pitcher. Remember what the Pittsburgh Pirates gave up to get him. They gave up Austin Meadows and Glasnow.
Yeah.
Both of them to get Chris Archer. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, turns out to be one of the world's worst trades, of course, by the Pittsburgh Pirates. But Chris Archer, when he was right for the Tampa Bay Rays, I should say, this guy was as good as, you know, anyone, or at least statistically was good. He never had a great win-loss record, but ERA was good, lots of strikeouts. I think he's a guy that I would just kick the tires on just because I feel like I could get him for a fair price.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is he's going to be coming off of thoracic outlet syndrome surgery, where they basically remove a nerve or move a nerve, and he's coming off injury, is my point. And so the price tag is not going to be as high, and you could take a gamble on a guy like 32-year-old Chris Archer, who has innings left in him if he's healthy, because he just hasn't pitched that much over the last few years because he's been dealing with this type of thing. And like you said, when he's been good, when he's been right, he's been one of the best pitchers in the entire league. So this is just more fodder for Padre fans. And the Padres have you're right, Chris. The Padres have a decision to make. Do you stand pat and only add little pieces here and there, or do you jump in and try to make a big splash somewhere? And there's risk in both sides, right? You risk, if you make a big splash, you risk maybe upsetting what you have as chemistry on a team that seems like they fit really well, the pieces fit really well, and you run the risk as if you don't do enough, are you closing the gap with the almighty Dodgers at this point? Because that's really where this conversation is at for the Padres, is closing the gap.
I agree with you
on the Dodgers.
I agree with you that that's where the conversation is, and I honestly, although I'm not going to be upset if they add to what they have, I really don't want them to have to subtract anything in order to add to what they have. And I guess what I'm saying there is as fond as I am of A.J. Preller wheeling and dealing, and as good as his record has been, it is going to take a trade that is going to knock my socks completely off before I am willing to move anybody to get anybody. So that's kind of where I'm going to be on record as saying, I want to keep this team the way it is.
We will certainly find out as we get into this offseason. Some more baseball news. A.J. Hinch, haven't heard his name in quite some time. Start getting used to hearing it again. Him and Alex Cora, for that matter. Because everything that I've heard around baseball says that these guys are going to be at the top of the list of a few different organizations. One of them being Boston and Alex Cora. I think that seems to be where that one is headed right now. I know they've interviewed a couple people from people I've talked to, Alex Cora is going to be a tough guy to overlook for this job. And A.J. Hinch interviewed for the Detroit Tiger job today. He's got to be a top-tier candidate for that job.
I know Tim Kirkchin. I saw him interviewed last night, and I respect everything he says. He says that both guys will be managing next year, and you know, Hinch, obviously, if you're wondering, again, you know, where do I know those names from? They were both in the cheating scandal with the Astros, and, of course, Hinch was the manager of the Astros, and Cora was the manager of the Red Sox, and Red Sox were forced to fire Alex Cora. Seems like they feel really bad about having had to do that. it's likely, according to a lot of people, that he would be going back there to Boston. I there's a mean part of me that wants these guys to pay a little bit more and not just be welcomed right back into Major League Baseball so quickly. But I have a feeling I'm not going to win that one. So I'm going to have to accept the fact that they're back and probably just root against their teams. But, they're good managers. They made mistakes. And we all make mistakes. Not to that nature. I mean, those are pretty big-time things. But it looks like both guys are going to be back.
Both of them, I will give both of them the credit of owning their mistakes immediately when it happened. And as I've said before, that always makes it easier from the public standpoint to accept you back in when you've admitted wrongdoing. And both of those guys didn't waste any time in doing so. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, Chris versus the Fan on the way. You want to get in on this game, give us a call, 833-288-0973. Take your shot at Chris Ello here. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.